Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah.
Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Trillville Thursday. Halloween as well. Happy Halloween to everybody out there. Randy's in spirit with his his Busch Light Halloween shirt. It says Busch beer. Yeah. It's very funny.
Yeah, man.
We'll tweet a picture out of it eventually. And we're coming to you live from the Atlanta United training ground as we are literally on the balcony watching them train. Get ready for Messi in Miami on Saturday night. Good morning to you, Randy. Happy Halloween.
What's happening, man? Yes, happy Halloween as we are over here by the Air Force Base by Dobbins.
And so yeah, you hear some
helicopters coming by and everything. But yeah, we all the way up here in Marietta at the Atlanta United Training Center as they get ready for a big playoff matchup this Saturday night. Yeah. Against Miami and the little guy who has to play because he doesn't play.
The little big guy.
But, yeah, it's exciting to be here. Appreciate them and the hospitality as they always are. And it's been so long since we've been up here because last time we were here, we were in the building, the pavilion, but now we're actually over here off the balcony and everything. And what they're renovating and doing, this place is going to be dope.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. State of the art, as all things Arthur Blank tend to be.
Yeah, man.
It's already really, really nice. And when we walked in, some of the academy kids are downstairs having breakfast. It's like that's not a bad deal for a 13-year-old if you get to hang out here and play soccer and all that kind of stuff. Not too bad. But yeah, the construction going on just right over our left shoulders as they expand this thing and grow it, and hopefully expand the season. On Saturday, going to have to win against Miami in order to do so.
Yeah, man.
Miami's really good, and Messi's really good. We're going to talk to Dax McCarty ahead of what might possibly be his last ever game in MLS. Crazy. Guy with a really long career. He's going to retire at the end of the season, whenever that is. Hopefully it's not Saturday, but it may be. And then Rob Valentino, the coach of Atlanta United, going to join us at some point as well. It's all fluid, Randy. You know how it is.
We've been fluid all week, though. We've been fluid
We're like 70% fluid.
Yeah, we fluid and all that, and just get a needle and drain it out, man. That's all you got to do, man. When you got that fluid on you, like we got that fluid on it. But we gonna do this thing like we always do it, man. No, ain't no hiccups, right? None of that.
Nah,
we are.
You taught me the hiccup remedy a couple weeks ago.
We are professionals.
Speaking of fluid. Bad transition, but the Dodgers had champagne all over themselves last night.
No, because champagne's a fluid.
They won the World Series.
All right.
Good. Somebody had to do it.
I think that's the biggest thing. Somebody had to win it. I know that we were talking a couple days ago about do you root for Freddie? It ain't about rooting. I'm happy for Freddie because of everything Freddie's been through. Not because, you know what I mean? This man's been a hell of a year with the baby Maximus and the injury and everything like that. And for him to show out the way he did, two more RBIs last night. I don't have when you don't have no fighting dog, you don't give a damn who wins. But I'm so glad the Yankees lost only because of those two dorks. Not because of Judge or anybody else. It's because of those two dudes. I'm glad they lost.
Yeah, and I will give credit to the Yankees organization for handling that thing right. They banned those dumbasses from the stadium.
Yes.
I don't know for how long, but at least for last night. And they gave the seats to a kid who's fighting cancer. So well done by the Yankees in the way that they handled that one. And, yeah, I know. It's hard to say root because I root for the teams that I root for. I didn't really want the Yankees or the Dodgers to be World Series champions, but when that's an inevitable outcome when they're playing each other, there's more guys I like on the Dodgers team. I like Freddie. Shohei's a cool player to watch. Mookie Betts seems awesome dude.
Love Mookie Betts.
I don't know. There's a little bit more likability on that side of it. And now it's over. So good for them. They won, and now we can get back to hoping the Braves win the next one. But the Dodgers won 2 out of 5 after kind of being one of, if not the best team in baseball for the last 10 to 15 years, and they've now paid it off twice in the last 5 years. So, again, hopefully that never happens again, and hopefully the Braves win the next 20 World Series in a row. The Falcons have the Cowboys in town on Sunday. The quarterback was on with Dukes and Bell yesterday.
Yes.
If you didn't hear it, check it out. Awesome conversation.
Yes.
Just always cool to hear from Kirk Cousins. He sat down with the guys for about 15 minutes. They talked about all kinds of different stuff. It's available on the website, 929thegame.com, the Dukes and Bell page. And you know, a lot of the things you hear from Kirk are the things you expect to hear from Kirk. But one of them is just real honest. Is like they asked him about the chemistry with him and Zach Robinson. He was like, you know, week one, you couldn't have said that. He's like, I wouldn't have said I had good chemistry with Zach Robinson week one. It wasn't good.
Right.
It feels good now.
Yeah.
It feels like it's coming along now, which is great and really what everyone was hoping for with this football team. But if this is sort of a stop along the way. Obviously, this isn't the destination to where this offense is going. This offense has the capability, like we knew it would. Like we knew it would when the season started and they went out and got Kirk and all the weapons they have. They're starting to realize that potential offensively, and we've seen it, I think, in four of the last five games for sure.
I think that this game is one of those games where you don't want a team that stinks to get right. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, Dallas is not good.
They're not. They have good players.
They're not playing well. And then this one of those things, and I thought this before, you know, and I was gone the week before when they played against Seattle, and I thought the same thing. Like, if the Falcons are who they want to be, they should win that football game. Mm-hmm. If the Falcons are who they want to be, they should win this football game on Sunday. They're a better team than Dallas. Now, if you want to rank the players, I'm talking about the healthiest players in the game or whatever, going down the list, they probably have the most talented players, 1-2 in the game. And probably, you know, if Micah Parsons, but he's not going to play. But if he was playing, Micah Parsons, CeeDee Lamb would probably be the best two players in this game. But the Falcons have got players in that, you know, in that row and all those different things. But they need to go out there because this is one of those things where, and I go with Dallas will win this game. You know what I mean? Because they'll luck up and stuff like that. They'll play the best game of the year. Because Dak's a capable quarterback, especially if you can't pressure him. And that's going to be a thing. I mean,
I'll go further than that. I think Dak's a really good quarterback.
Yes.
He hasn't played great this year, but I think he can be a really good quarterback because
we've already established the fact that the Falcons have played against teams with bad offensive lines. We played against teams where they got backup linemen.
Oh, yeah.
And there has been no – and I know we keep on talking about sacks and everything. They're not getting pressure.
Right, because that's always the response when you ask about sacks is, well, everyone makes this big deal about sacks, but really it's about affecting the quarterback.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, true. They're not doing that either.
They're not doing that either.
They're, you know, it's a little bit better if you want to look at the ranking in the league than dead last.
Where the hell are they on the ranking?
It's not that much better. I think they're 26. You know what I mean? But again, that's what this pass rush has done to us.
Yes.
Is you have to bend over backwards and get three mirrors and smoke to try to come up with an argument as to how they're not terrible. No, they are. They're terrible.
They're terrible at getting to the quarterback.
So I'm not even, honestly, that's not even a part of my consideration in analyzing this football game on Sunday. I just assume they're not going to pressure Dak all that much, and you're going to have to try to find different ways to make him make mistakes.
Yes.
Keep the playmakers in front of you, get them on the ground when they get the football, maybe make a play or two or three with those guys in the secondary as you've seen them do and change the game. But no, I mean, I don't care that their offensive line isn't very good.
Nope.
I don't care that they
can't run the football.
Now, I care about that. Hopefully the Falcons will be able to stop the run.
Right.
But in terms of like ingredients that are going to lead to the Falcons generating a pass rush, all the stuff we could have possibly come up with, and we've done our best to come up with, okay, this is the week.
Right.
It hadn't been.
No.
It hadn't been the week. So this probably isn't the week either. The good news is there's a lot of other ways that the Falcons can win this football game. The worry that I have, and it kind of gets back to what you were talking about with that Seahawks matchup a couple of weeks ago. I hope that performance reminds this team that they're capable of being flat and undisciplined and not ready, because it felt like they weren't ready that Sunday any week, so they won't do that again. But Dallas is desperate, man. They know the deal.
Yeah.
They're 3-4. They've lost three games in a row. Like, they're very injured. They realize that the seasons slip away real quick.
They
do. 3-4 becomes 3-8 real fast, and that's that. So they're certainly the more desperate football team.
That
plays a factor on Sundays sometimes.
We mentioned it on Monday. I mean, I know it was Victory Monday, and we were just, you know, brainstorming ahead. They're playing for their season.
Oh, yeah.
They're playing for their season right now. And you know, they're you know, obviously people talk about it because they are the Cowboys, the biggest brand in the NFL and all those different things that they never won nothing. But, yeah, they're playing for their season. And their owners come out this week on his radio show talking about miracle seasons and all this other stuff. And memorable seasons and everything. And they look at this week as, okay, let's jumpstart it this week against Atlanta. Because if you look at the line, and, you know, sometimes the line can be off and everything, you don't want to talk about the betting line. They don't think Atlanta's better than Dallas?
Yeah, I mean, 2.5 That's a pick 'em at home.
Yeah, exactly.
Practically.
Exactly.
It's got a coin toss.
And so when you look at it from that standpoint, I mean, if you don't need to let them get right against you because they are horrible against the run. They can't run the football. And they have a guy who they try, and I'm talking about 88, CeeDee Lamb, they try everything in their power to get him the football. And I'm not saying you got to stop him and all those different things because he's that good. And you go back to the 49er game, well, yeah, a lot of those balls were late. But at the same time, they were still one possession. It was a one possession game going down to that late, and then Dak threw the late interception. But they're going to force feed him. We know that. But I think that if you go out there and handle your business, because to me, this seems like this is going to be a 35-30 game.
Yeah.
Somewhere in that area.
Yeah.
It seemed like,
I could see that.
It seems like it's going to be a lot of points on Sunday because of both defenses.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know. And that's why when you look at it, can because I think the Falcons have a better offense.
I agree.
Yeah. But the Cowboys are going against the Falcons' defense.
Yes.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And so that's the thing.
You know, it would be a good guy to ask about how you stop CeeDee Lamb as the assistant head coach who specializes on the defensive side of the ball and has a background in defensive back coaching.
Yes.
Good thing we're having him on today.
Jerry.
We're going to have Jerry Gray on at 12:40 today. We'll ask him.
Dude, I was just looking at, you know, because I played against Jerry when he was the D.C. at Buffalo.
You looking at how you did against his defenses?
Obviously, I'm looking at that. But I'm like, I'm looking at these damn defenses. He has a damn studs.
Lawyer Malloy.
Lawyer, yeah. Takiyo.
Okay.
London Fletcher. One of the more underrated pass rushers. Aaron Schobel. He was a double-digit sack guy.
Sure.
And then the nasty Nate Clemens. Watch your knees and ankle, because that's where Nate going.
Yeah, you should text Takiyo and see if he's got any little secrets to ask him about, or something about Jerry.
I might need
We'll surprise him. Do a little extra background research he won't be expecting. All right, that's coming up at the 12 o'clock hour. Dax McCarty from Atlanta United, veteran midfielder, going to join us in about half an hour, more than likely, although practice may go a little longer, so it's all kind of fluid up here, like we said. But one thing we can guarantee is coming up next. We'll tell you what's trending here on a Trillville Thursday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Like every week, just trying to stack the experiences, have good conversations, ask good questions, get on the same page, and then see how that carries over the next week. And the same would be said for my teammates of, hey, Drake, I didn't know you were going to do that. Like, let's talk about that, because if you do that, I can get you the ball. I just wasn't aware. So every week trying to get more on the same page and believing that in doing that we're going to be better and better, you know, as we move forward.
It has certainly looked like that.
Yeah.
That's Kirk Cousins yesterday from part of the conversation that he had with Dukes and Bell. Again, if you missed that interview, check it out, 92.9thegame.com, Dukes and Bell page, podcast, Odyssey app, all that good stuff. I mean, they've scored 30 points in four out of the last five games. That performance against Seattle obviously sticks out like a sore thumb, and
yes,
hopefully, like we've said multiple times, the further you get away from it, the more it feels like an outlier and maybe serves as a wake-up call. This is a team that you can score 30 points on.
Yes.
you can
yes.
score You can
yes.
score on the Dallas Cowboys.
Yes.
You look at some of their – I mean, they lost 30-24 to the 49ers last week, and the damn Lions put up 47 on them
yep.
the week before that.
Throwing at the damn tackles and everything
oh,
like
man.
That.
Yeah. It was fun listening to Mark Schlereth talk about all that yesterday and all the different variations that they have.
They
in their
just offense. Be playing with folks.
Well, and I liked his explanation for it, though. He was like, they're so damn good. Like, just basic execution against teams they're that much better than, it's going to get boring.
Yeah.
They got to mix it up.
Yeah.
You got to get the linemen some touchdowns Laporta a pass or something.
You know what's so
like
funny? It's like, I heard somebody say it. They're like, this, you know, we call those trick plays. That's not trick plays in them.
No, that's just a play.
That's a play,
yeah.
Exactly.
That's a play they've been running August.
Yeah,
like they worked on that in training camp.
You don't ever get upset if you're an offensive player in that offense, because when they run it, when you practice it, they're going to run the game. We had this conversation. You'd be like, oh, yeah, man, they got this double reverse. I'm coming like this. But we ran it 5 times this week, so I know it's going to be a damn game plan. No, they do it.
Yeah, and then it never again. You never see it again for the rest of your life.
They do it.
No, yeah, if they work on it a little bit, they're going to get it out there. It also helps when they're up by 30 points every single week and they need to keep guys engaged. And look, if that's what Sunday ends up looking like from the Falcons' perspective, that would be beautiful. That would be fantastic to run the Dallas Cowboys out of the building like that. That's not what I'm expecting, just because most games don't go that way in the NFL, and as we've seen the Falcons this year, they're just going to play a lot of close games by and large. But from what Kirk is talking about there, you see it. Bijan's been better the last couple of weeks. This feels like, and I don't know what it'll look like it did against Carolina when they both went for 100 yards and it's nothing they could do, but Dallas can't stop the run. Like, Bijan and Algier should be the players of the game offensively in this one on Sunday.
Yeah.
How bad Dallas is against the run and how well Bijan's been playing the last few weeks.
He's been really good. He's been really good. He's been really, really good. And I think that, you know, because I saw, you know, when because Dallas had a bye week before they played San Fran. Mm-hmm. And then you saw a little bit of different thing they were trying to do. They were trying to play more of a 5-6 man front and everything, covering up everybody and basically – saying win your one-on-one matchup and try to get some penetration. And it worked early in the game. It really did. But San Francisco stuck with it, warm down, play action, and all those different things. And I anticipate that, you know, it's a copycat league. And I do anticipate, because Dallas knows that just like they played, you know, San Francisco last week. I mean, we talk about Kyle. We talk about Purdy and all those weapons and everything. But Kyle Shanahan wants to run the football.
Yeah.
You know, he wants to run the football.
And they did.
Exactly.
223.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, there's no reason that the Falcons should not be close to that number. And the thing with it is, you got to run the plays, sustain drives, and be able to do that and put together – how many rushes do they have?
36.
Yes, there you go.
Now, if you take – I don't know how many of the Purdy runs were planned.
Yeah, and see, Purdy had 50 yards. Now, you're not going to get that.
I don't know how much of that was planned or scrambled or whatever, but you're not going to get that from Kirk.
You're not going to get that from Kirk at all.
You know, you got, I don't know. Are you,
you
sure?
Got, you got 14 last
he
week.
He got out and went crazy last week in the open field.
You know what I mean? So you don't know if you're going to get that part of that, you know, whatever. But I think that, you know, if the Falcons don't run the football against this football team,
they're going to lose.
They don't run the football.
Yeah.
And if they don't stop the Dallas Cowboys are the only team in the NFL who does not have a rush over 15 yards. The only team.
Yes. The whole season?
Yes.
Good Lord.
Yes.
Let's not let that change.
Let's not let that change. Now, they brought up Dalvin Cook, and Dalvin, you know, maybe they want to change something up. And who was talking about Dowdle last year? Don't tell me about Dowdle.
Go Dowdle.
Yeah, don't talk to me about
it. No, but when you're handing the ball to Ezekiel Elliott 10 times a game in 2024, you have to talk about Rico Dowdle.
No, don't tell me about
Rico Dowdle. Or Kevontae Turpin. No offense, but that's who they're handing the ball to, man. Like, Dalvin Cook got in and averaged 2 yards a carry.
Yes.
Last week.
Two.
That's a disaster. Yeah, let's do it. Might as well. I don't care about the Cowboys. They had an opportunity to get a different guy. They could have had a different running back over there.
Well, if the guy lives in Dallas, trains in Dallas, wanted to be in Dallas, Jerry said he couldn't afford him. They said he could afford him.
Well, maybe if Jerry would sign his vets sooner and stop playing this ridiculous media roulette that he likes to play, he would have had the free money to get Derrick Henry in there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then he wouldn't have to hand it to Hunter Lepke. He wouldn't have to hand it to Hunter Lepke in NFL games.
Hunter Lepke.
Yeah, these are the guys who are carrying the football for the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, you know what, man? I mean, I think the Falcons are better than the Dallas Cowboys. But the thing with it is, they got a game breaker that can win a football game. Talking about CeeDee Lamb, and the thing with him, Andy, is he lines up everywhere. He plays outside. He plays in the slot. We talked about them handing him the football, and so they have a situation on their hands where, you know, if you can find a way to limit him. Now, they have – Tober can play. He can make plays.
Yeah.
You know how I feel about Ferguson.
Jake Ferguson's a good player.
They got some good players over there, but it's one dude that they run that their offense revolves around outside the quarterback, and we're talking about CeeDee. Their defense, Trayvon Diggs is a good corner. He's a good corner. Don't get me wrong.
He'll give up a big
He'll give up a big play because he's a gambler. Mm-hmm. He's a gambler. Then you look at Deron Bland. Deron Bland had six pick sixes last year.
Yeah.
And he'll be back this week.
Now, first game back,
yeah, first
a little game, rust. Who knows what he'll be capable
all those
of.
Everything.
And, the more you hear whispers, and there are still whispers, but maybe we'll be able to confirm more of it tomorrow by the end of the show, Micah Parsons. You might see him.
He got to play. If he's and if he's at 80, 85, you got to go out there and give us something. And if he's out there, then it's a whole different ball.
It's a whole different ball.
It's a whole different ball game. But their front seven's off. They lost their two pass rushers. Then that kid that I forgot his name. The kid who was their third rusher who played pretty good when both those guys went down. He goes down. Mm-hmm. Their front seven is awful. Their front seven is awful. There's no reason why the Falcons should not take advantage of that and go win the football game.
I don't know how to say his last name, Randy. That's the guy you're talking about, right? Odigzua?
Yes.
That guy. He goes down. They're very injured, which good. I mean, I don't want anybody to get hurt, but if you're playing them.
Yeah.
You got an advantage.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Took advantage of the Bucs being out their two best wide receivers last week.
Yeah.
That's, you know, you're hurt too. You got some injuries. Everybody's got injuries. Let's hear from Kirby Smart talking about Florida.
You know, I think they're playing their best football. I think they have a really, really good roster. A lot of players we've recruited. And recruited against them, but they're playing their best football, and obviously a talented group, really a lot of great size across the front on the offensive and defensive lines.
Size.
But they're big. They're big. I thought yeah, we were talking about it yesterday, Buck. It looks like Tate Ratledge is going to play.
That's huge.
Yeah, it looks like it does.
Huge.
It does look like he's going to play in this game now. And I forgot until because it was so long ago when I watched the game that you're going to be without Dan Jackson and
Aguero for those
crappy ass targeting calls. You know,
they can't do anything about the calls in game. You should be able to petition the call after the game and not have to miss the first half of the next game.
I agree.
It's like, again, I get what they're trying to do and all that. I don't agree with how they're doing it. But, yeah, that's very frustrating to be without those two guys to start the game. Now, you get them back in the second half. Look, the story with Georgia is pretty obvious as it relates to this game and the remaining games in the season. If the defense can play up to the standard that they set in the Texas game, you're going to have a chance to win every game. You're probably going to win every game. If the offense can be anywhere near the potential that they have, and that means not dropping passes, and that means running the football, and I do think you'll be able to get back to running the football a bit better with your offensive line being back intact, having your starting center back, and hopefully getting Tate Ratledge back, like you mentioned. And those two things start to happen, man. Like, this second half of this season for Georgia is going to be special.
Yeah, I think Carson Beck is a good quarterback.
He is.
All right.
He is a good quarterback.
He's a good quarterback.
He's not the great quarterback that people thought maybe he was coming into the year.
I agree.
But he's a good quarterback.
I agree 100% with you, Bunk. These guys got to help him. You got to catch the damn ball. That's it. Catch the ball. And I'm telling you, if these guys catch the ball and Carson puts it where it's supposed to be, for the most part, he has been outside throwing it to the other people. But I mean,
yeah, when he's not throwing it directly to the other team, he's been great.
He's been great. Catch the football, Bobo. And you know how I love that man there. All right. And I run the football.
Just run it.
I mean, just run it sometimes.
Go ahead and run it.
I mean, just run it. Now, we always talk about taking shots. We talked about it yesterday. We throw the ball down the field. All right. We just need to catch the ball. He's got to catch the football. If they catch the football, I don't have no doubt about this defense. Because when 13 and Lem not there, it's problems.
Yeah, and now 13's healthy.
And he's
healthy.
And
obviously he missed a lot of the season with the injury against Clemson.
He's healthy.
Those two guys on the edge are absolute wreckers. They got healthy on the interior of the defensive line as well. More snaps from those guys against Texas than you had seen all year. And there are playmakers on the back end. There just hasn't been a lot of harassing the quarterback yet to let those guys go eat, and I think that they can. Honestly, for me, with Georgia, one of the things that hasn't been there that's been such a staple of Kirby Smart's teams offensively has been that quick, short passing game to the outside. Great blocking by the receivers. It's almost an extension of the run game, really.
You know why?
Because they're so high percentage. We have hope if that starts to click, then that goes a long way,
too. And you know why? Because you know who's the lead those blocks? Brock Bowers,
yeah.
Yeah, Brock Bowers.
And Marcus Roseme Jackson, Darnell.
Those dudes used to lead that block.
They did.
And so you don't have that big girth dude.
They haven't. The guys on the edge, the receivers specifically have not blocked the way that Kirby Smart's teams have.
And you saw the tight ends on the perimeter.
They're getting better.
We ain't going to talk about 8-4.
He's getting better.
Yeah, we ain't going to talk about 8-4.
Now, Ben Yurcek's been playing better. Yeah. It's not, you know. I don't know. The hype coming out of summer was maybe a little overblown, but He's looked better, more willing
about that?
To block. I think Lawson Lucky's really good.
I do too.
I think that guy's got a chance to be really good.
He has a good chance. He's just lighting ass.
Not really like yeah.
Yeah, he's just lighting ass, and it shows up a lot of times in the run game. But you got to keep him out there because right now he's playing his best. Now Oscar had a really big play in the huge play against Texas.
You know, that little trick play they ran
because they had the momentum. Texas was taking the momentum,
absolutely.
And they went down. First of all, it was a great throw and catch to Aaron Smith on the big dig route.
Yeah. Yep.
And then you come back to loss, and then you're back in business.
Those are the two biggest plays of the season thus far. Because Texas has just taken the momentum back. Yep. Georgia runs two crap plays on first and second down.
Yep.
It's third and 10, backed up. It's loud. It's going crazy.
Yes.
Bet drops back. Bow. Right to Arian for, I don't know what it was, 20 yards, something like that.
Yes.
Next play, they run that little trick for Delp, and they're in scoring position. And that was it.
Yep.
That was it. They didn't look back from that moment. But that throw on third down, that's what it can be.
Yeah.
Just hit your back foot. Your guy's open.
Let it go.
Don't drop it.
Yes. And he snagged it.
Didn't that feel like one of those ones that Arian just kind of.
Yeah. But then you're driving again, and then the kid from Vanderbilt. It's right there.
Yeah.
Bloop. Catch it.
I like we came up with a drop the ball sound effect.
Yeah. Bloop. Bloop. Catch it.
Catch the ball. Come on. All right. We're going to get a quick break here. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. We're broadcasting live from the Atlanta United Training Grounds. And correct me if I'm wrong, Randy, but there's nobody on the field.
No.
So it looks like practice is over.
No.
So probably Dax McCarty is going to join us next. We'll talk to the veteran midfielder.
You think they let us go? We're right by the calf. You think they let us grab a plate?
Sure. Probably.
Okay.
I don't know.
They asked us if we need anything.
How about lunch? Let's go find out. Dax McCarty coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. They didn't say your whole name.
Okay. They didn't say my whole name.
Welcome back to the Midday Show with Andy and Randy with you here. Trillville Thursday. It's also Halloween.
Yes.
Happy Halloween to everybody out there. Be safe tonight.
Don't be giving out no candy apples and bags of popcorn.
Or like floss or any healthy stuff. Yeah. Like if you're going to do that, just don't give out anything because you're just asking people to egg your house.
And don't empty your snack cabinet either.
Yeah, right.
I think we got four bags of chips.
Nobody wants crackers. Nobody wants that stuff.
Raisins.
They want candy. The kids are out there for candy.
Yes.
All right? This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. We are broadcasting live from Atlanta United's training ground as they get ready for their playoff match at home on Saturday, the second game of the series against Miami. Dax McCarty sits down with us now for a conversation. Dax, how are you, man?
Doing great, guys. Doing great.
I mean, I know that you guys are getting ready for a huge game on Saturday, but it's Halloween. You have a small kid, right? Are you guys doing anything? Two small kids. What are you guys doing?
Yeah. We're in Brookhaven, so we're going to go trick-or-treating in the neighborhood.
There you go.
I'm getting some stick from the guys because I don't have a costume sorted out yet.
Okay.
We're not a big family costume family. You know what I mean?
My man.
With the theme, we just kind of go with it. We ask the kids what they want to be. They say the most random things you could imagine. And then if we're feeling it, we'll go throw on a mask or an outfit that has nothing to do with what they are.
Yeah. How old are they?
It's just random. 5 and 2.
Okay, so 5's got opinions.
Yeah.
Oh, 5 has opinions, for sure. He's a lizard.
That's great.
Yeah, you know why? He's really into going in our backyard and catching lizards.
Okay.
And my man is not scared. I'm telling you, he's like, Dad, come check this out. And it's like some sort of animal or bug that I haven't really seen before. I'm like, I don't know what that is. He just picks it up. He's like, look at that, Dad.
Yeah.
Look at that. Look at those fangs. I'm like, okay. Please put it down.
The only difference my son would have is before he said, look at this, he would eat it.
Yeah.
It would be immediately in his mouth.
Can I tell you guys something funny that I saw on Twitter? I refuse to call it X.
Yeah. Me too.
Okay, good. Thank you. I'm glad we can agree on
that.
I saw a picture. You know how people on Halloween, right, if they take their kids trick-or-treating, they leave the bowl of candy out, and they say, take one, right? You do that?
I've done it until...
So now you get a couple kids on the ring cameras, right? They're looking around. Boom, whole bowl. It's like, come on, guys.
That's
what
why,
are we doing here?
That's why I don't do it anymore. Because the same.
Exactly.
That's why.
I saw a funny tweet, and it was a picture. You guys know what pho is?
P. Yeah. I grew up in Seattle.
It was a big vat of pho, and it just said, one spoonful per kid. So, I might do that. I might whip up a big vat of pho, because you guys were talking about some funny stuff there, but that one really stuck with me.
For people that don't know, pho is like a Vietnamese soup.
Yeah.
It's like a noodle soup. Yeah. So, you put a little noodle soup
just
in your bag.
One sip.
Yeah.
I like that one.
All right. With all of that fun had, how do you look at – because people may know this. Maybe they don't know it. Obviously, people know you guys are playing for the season on Saturday, but this might be your last game.
Yeah.
On Saturday. How do you put that out of your mind and get ready for it? Maybe you don't. Maybe it's something that you think about a lot.
You know what's great is we've been playing basically single elimination games for three, four weeks now.
Yeah.
The game down in Miami we knew was a little different because we were guaranteed at least two games. But Orlando, backs were against the wall, could have been our last game of the season, got in by the skin of our teeth, awesome. Montreal, went up to Canada 3-4 days later and played a great game. And then we were up 2-0. Look, the pressure of the crowd, you know, we were a little bit heavy-legged, got to penalties, and then we showed unbelievable composure and confidence to go and make it to the elimination round mm-hmm. against Miami. So we've been dealing with it for multiple weeks now. So, I've said this before. I'll say it again. I'm not afraid to say it. Like, we respect Miami. They're one of the best teams that has ever, I think, come through MLS with the quality of the talent, the coaching that they have. But we're not scared of them.
Right.
We shouldn't be scared of them. We took four points off them this year. Mm-hmm. I think the only team to go unbeaten against them in the regular season, and this is the postseason, so of course it means a little bit more. But we've been watching video, and we realize how good they are and how dangerous they can be. But we've already identified some areas where we think we can be better and sharper, and we can hurt them. So we're excited about the opportunity.
How do you stay sharp? And obviously trying to – my mind's sharp, but your body, because of the grind that you guys have been through this last month, especially three games in 10 days – well, how many other days it was. How do you and your teammates find a way to keep yourselves mentally sharp but also physically?
Yeah, well, it's about having a short memory, especially after a game where you lose, because of the positivity that we took from the Orlando game and from the Montreal game. And honestly, it was a little bit of chaos. So you don't even really have time to think about how tired you are. It's just recover, next game. Recover, next game. So we've had a little bit more time in between these Miami games to be able to rest and recover. We had a few days off afterwards, which was just awesome.
Right.
And mainly, you know, physically, of course, it helps, but even mentally, just to get away from the training ground for a little bit, just to reset, be able to spend time on your own, spend time with your family. I mean, at this point of the season, everyone's in shape. Everyone's fit. Even an old guy like me, like, I'm still fit and raring to go. So you need those mental breaks sometimes. And so getting away from the training facility for a few days was good. And now we've had some really, really good days of training and some days where we can go on the field and we can actually do some prep and some walkthroughs, because we weren't able to do that leading up to this first Miami game.
Atlanta United midfielder Dax McCarty joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy as the team gets ready for Miami on Saturday. You mentioned it. I mean, there was success in the regular season. You guys went down there and won a game. I think one of two teams to actually do that this year. So, and then to draw them later in the year. Why? Like, what has worked, not without giving too much away, obviously, but what has worked from your perspective in terms of playing those guys?
I think when you look at Miami and what they do well, you have to have an acceptance amongst your group that if you try to go toe-to-toe with them, it's very difficult to just out-talent them.
Right.
Not many people and teams are going to be able to do that. So you have to be smart and effective in your plan, in your tactics, right? And so for me, I look at what made us successful, staying compact, not allowing these wonderful players in Messi and Suarez and Jordi Alba to get too many opportunities, and then being able to hit them in transition. Because for me, they're a very good team, but they are susceptible. Their backline has conceded goals, and to be completely honest, their coach, rightly so, he allows those attacking players freedom to not have to put a ton of energy into defending. So for me, what was so effective for us in the regular season was when we got opportunities to hit them in transition, when they turned the ball over and we got a counterattack, we were lethal and we were effective. And we put them under pressure and we scored goals when we needed to score goals. And look, at the back, we bend, but we didn't break.
Right.
Brad Guzan in the first game stood on his head. And to be completely honest, he's probably going to have to do that again, because if you go into the game thinking you're not going to concede any chances to them, then you're foolish. It's just, it's going to happen. So then Can Brad make big saves? Can we limit the opportunities we give them? And then going the other way in the attacking third, we just have to be more efficient. If we can be more efficient with our chances, make their goalkeeper make saves, give up rebounds, score some goals, right? Like we got into the first game 1-1 at halftime, and even though we didn't play well and they were dominating, we still felt good about our chances to go in the second half and nick the game, right? And so just keeping the game close and being effective in our moments going forward, that's a big, big thing for us.
What has it been about this season, Dax? Because we're all United fans and we love this squad, and this squad took over the city and all those different things, but this season has been frustrating. You
for
go
sure.
through a new manager and all these different things, different moving parts, guys go, guys come. But how is it that this core group that's still here stuck together and got you to the point where you are, like you said, elimination and all those different things, but you're playing for your season on Saturday?
I think it's recognizing that the things that were difficult for us throughout the season was inconsistency. And it was a lack of success at home, ironically
right.
enough, where when I first got here, you know, this is my first year with the team, and when I first got here, I distinctly remember Brooks Lennon telling me, dude, when we play at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, it is electric. It is a fortress. We do not lose. And I'm like, okay, great, awesome. And then we just struggled at Mercedes-Benz all year, and I was like, this sucks. You know what I mean? Like, we should be better. We should be entertaining our fans. We should be scoring goals. We should be winning more games. And actually, the last couple years, they struggled on the road, dominated at Mercedes-Benz. And now this year, it was kind of like a little flipped, right?
Right?
We were not great at home, and we were decent on the road, and that kind of led us to the playoffs. And so now I think, what a great moment, what a great opportunity in front of our fans. You're going to have 70,000 people there and playing against one of the best teams MLS has ever put together. What an opportunity to go in and change the narrative. Say, we are going to be the aggressor. We're going to be on the front foot. We're not going to sit back. We're going to make sure that we take advantage of our opportunities in front of our home fans so that we know when we go into that, we could lose the game. It can happen. But we're going to leave it all out there, and we're going to make sure we entertain them no matter what. Because I think they just want to be proud of the performance. And I have to be honest, there weren't a lot of home performances this year that our fans could be proud of, and we have to change that. This is a big moment, big opportunity for us to change that.
Dax McCarty joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, getting ready for the playoff game at home on Saturday. Like Dax said, 70,000 strong in the building. Should be a lot of fun. Let me ask you a big picture question here. As you've played, I mean, 500 games in MLS, right? Like that's a great long career. You've seen the league evolve and change quite a bit. Maybe this is too simple, but how has it changed most from when you came in to where the league is at now? What's the biggest difference?
Infrastructure. You guys are here sitting with me in a gorgeous multi-million-dollar training facility that, quite frankly, I turned pro in 2006. So these did not exist, full stop. Now, in MLS, if you don't have one of these, you are so far behind the eight ball when it comes to talent recruitment. And that doesn't just mean for the first team. That means for the academy as well. You're so far behind that you better get on it. You better find some land. You better have an owner that's committed to putting an infrastructure in place that is going to draw in the best players and the most talent. Because a brand new stadium is excellent, and that's great. Everybody wants a brand new stadium. But I'm telling you guys right now, the main draw for a player, a free agent, a good player in Europe that wants to sign with a team is somewhere where you're going to be most days, and that's the training facility. Mm-hmm. And I think if you go throughout the best teams in the league, you see that they have these first-class, world-class facilities that, you know, I haven't been to a ton of training facilities over in Europe, but these are in line and on par with the best of the best. You really don't find these very often over anywhere in the world. And so for me, the infrastructure, the investment, and obviously the focus on youth development, it's all night and day from where it was when I first came in the league.
And like Buck said, you've been around a long time. You talk about when you drafted 2006, played for a few teams. What was it about Atlanta? What is it about Atlanta that you like so much?
Well, I'm a Florida guy. Okay. You know, I'm from the South.
Okay.
I'm born and raised Orlando, Florida. And like you said, I've been a few places in my career, mainly central U.S. and East Coast. I played in D.C., New York, Nashville, Chicago, Dallas. And I kind of did a little bit of a loop, right? And so as I was in Nashville and thinking about the options I had some options on the West Coast and still in the Midwest, but I thought, you know, I've got some family here. It's my parents are my biggest fans. It would be great to be able to end my career close to home where I would have that infrastructure and that support of my family, because I left home when I was 16 to pursue my dreams, right, and to go play. And so my parents have been my biggest fans. They've been driving and flying all over the country trying to watch me and follow my career. So it's not quite that close to Orlando, but it's close enough. You know, it's a 45-minute to an hour flight. It's an eight-hour drive. So they've been able to make so many home games this year, and it's been really something that my family, especially me having two young children, my wife, she's from Florida as well, that was a really big draw. But also it was this, the infrastructure of Atlanta United, the fact that they were a big club in MLS. And listen, my initial reason for coming here was like, hey, man, this team has a ton of talent.
Right.
And this team is going to be challenging for trophies. And look, sometimes it doesn't always work out the way you think it will. And it wasn't such a linear, straight-up progression for us to be top four in the East and, you know, be challenging for the Supporters Shield. But, you know, we sold some talent. We're here now in this moment in the playoffs with a chance to continue our season. And that's what you play for. You play you want to play in the biggest games. I mean, you guys, you probably know you want to play in the biggest games that you have. And this is definitely a huge game. And I'm just looking forward to it, just like the rest of the guys.
You don't think I played?
I don't know. Did you?
No.
Okay. I was told. Right. I was told very distinctly one person played, and it was Randy. All right. So I feel like someone would have told me if Andy
assumption.
Played.
I thought that was just an assumption. You were right.
Okay.
I figured. You
were
right.
I feel justified.
Yeah,
in
you 100% okay, 100% justified. Final one here, and you get it. You're like you said. You're from the South. I was going to ask about this anyway, but you brought up being from Florida and the Orlando area. I know you went to UNC for college. What does that make you? Are you a Gator fan growing up, or?
So I'm a Tar Heel through and through, but okay. I am a Gator fan 100%. Okay. My uncle went to Florida State. One of my other uncles and my grandfather went to Florida, and I grew up in like kind of the Danny Werfel era. And so I loved UF. Yeah. Sorry, I don't know. Is that a sore subject?
Oh, that's when they used to beat I
also, yeah. I also have a distinct up. My wife is from the Jacksonville area.
Yes.
And this was during Tim Tebow craze. So I was like locked in with the Gators with Tebow mania. I loved it. Uh-huh. I apologize. Okay. Where'd you go?
Georgia.
Yeah. Ah, okay.
How do you think Saturday's going to go is this the question?
I think Florida's going to get their butt kicked.
Okay, yeah. Here we go. All right.
I'm a realist. Florida
stinks
this year, so I apologize, Gator fans, but it's true.
How about this? Georgia beats Florida, but you guys beat Miami.
I'll take that.
Hell yeah, we will.
Take that.
I think we all will.
I think everybody listening will probably take that too.
I'll take that.
Dax, thank you.
Appreciate you, my man.
Great to chat, man.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Good
appreciate
luck on Saturday.
Thank you.
We'll take a quick break here. Come back with an NFL no huddle to kick off the noon hour. Thanks so much for being with us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.